Good morning. I'm Sarah Condorino, and thank you all for coming today. So traffic crashes are the leading cause of injury in the United States and New York City. Each year, around 4,000 New Yorkers are seriously injured, and around 250 are killed by traffic crashes, and that's about one person every 2 hours. So in 2014, New York City adopted the Vision Zero initiative. And the goal of this initiative is to eliminate these injuries and fatalities. The initiative takes a multifaceted approach to this problem, and this includes policy reform, education, engineering, and enforcement. And some of the accomplishments over the first 2 years were a reduction of the default citywide speed limit of 30 miles to 25 miles per hour, media campaigns that shifted the dialogue to safer driving behaviors, and street redesigns, and this includes clearer demarcations of lanes and crosswalks and pedestrian islands. So all these efforts are driven by our surveillance data systems, and we use multiple independent systems to track our crashes. So the goal of this project was to link these independent surveillance systems in order to create an enhanced traffic surveillance data set. So we're starting out with our two systems, which are the hospital records. And with this system, you can identify each emergency department and hospitalization for traffic-related injuries. And then we have our crash records. And this is an enforcement database. And with this system, you can identify each traffic crash and all people involved in those crashes. So our hospital records contain additional information about the health outcomes. So with the diagnostic codes, we can identify the types of injuries and the injury locations on a person's body. We can also get an idea of the burden on the healthcare system. So we can see all of the associated charges with a person's treatment, and we can also see the patient's length of stay. The crash reports tell us about the circumstances involving the crash. So we can know things like what type of vehicles were involved, what were the environmental conditions, including weather, road conditions, and then we can also know things about a person's behavior, like seatbelt use. So when we link these two systems together, we gain the ability to tell the whole story from the crash to the health outcome. And through this enhanced surveillance system, we could start to answer questions like, are left-hand turns more likely to cause serious injuries? And then this in turn would inform our street redesign efforts. So this type of linkage isn't something novel. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has been funding states to perform these types of linkages since the 1990s. But the unique challenge we faced in our linkage was that we didn't have key identifying information, including names and date of birth. So even with this limitation, we were able to link 52% of our hospital records to a crash report, and that was comparable to linkage rates that we see in the literature. So for our data sources, our hospital records are coming from the New York Statewide Planning Research Cooperative System, and that's called SPARCS. And this has each emergency department and hospitalization. We subsetted for admissions occurring in New York City hospitals between the years of 2009 to 2013. And we subsetted for unintentional motor vehicle traffic-related injuries using the International Classification of Disease External Cause of Injury Code, or E-code, of E810 to E819. And we ended up with over 280,000 individuals in our hospital records who were injured from traffic-related events. So our crash reports were provided to us from the New York City Department of Transportation, and they got these from the New York State DMV and New York State DOT. These crash records are based on MV-104 forms, which are filled out by a police officer at the scene of the incident. So again, we had crashes occurring within New York City from 2009 to 2013. We excluded non-reportable cases, which are cases where there's property damage less than $1,000, no serious injuries, and no deaths. And we excluded cases that were not within both DMV and DOT case files. So we had over 360,000 crashes during this time period, and over 1 million people involved in those crashes. So that's about 3 people per crash, but we know not everyone involved in a crash is going to sustain an injury that requires treatment at a healthcare facility. And so we wanted a rough idea of how many we would actually expect to see in our hospital records. So the crash reports have a variable called the CABCO Injury Severity Score, and this is based on an algorithm based on the police officer's judgment at the time of the crash. And so using that variable, when a police officer deems some level of injury, we would expect around 350,000 of those 1 million people to possibly show up in our hospital records. So these 5 variables were present in both data systems and would be used as matching variables. In terms of the person, all we had were the person's age and their sex. New York City has 5 counties, which we call boroughs. We know that there wouldn't be an exact match between crash and hospital county, but for the most part, we expect those to match based on previous research. We also wanted crash date to match to admission date, but we wanted to allow a 1-day buffer to account for crashes that occur near midnight, where we wouldn't expect the person to be seen at the facility until the subsequent day. We also wanted to allow a 4-hour buffer between crash hour and admission hour. So those variables alone weren't enough to yield a solid match, so we looked deeper into the data sets to see what variables could be recoded or derived in order to get a more solid match. So crash role is a variable that specifies, was the person a driver, a passenger, pedestrian, that type of thing. Collision type specifies, was it a collision with another motor vehicle, collision with an object, injury body location, and injury occurrence. So those additional variables were derived as shown here. Crash role is reported in the crash reports, but we redefined it using that variable and a vehicle type variable. Within the hospital records, crash role is defined using the 4th digit of that ICD-9 E-code that I talked about. Collision type is reported in the crash records, but we recoded it into broader categories. And for the hospital records, it was defined using the first 3 digits of the E-code. Injury body location, again, is reported in the crash reports, but we recoded into broader categories. And within the hospital records, it was defined using the admitting diagnostic code, which is the diagnostic code assigned as the person is admitted to the hospital. And we used this code because we thought it would more closely align with a police officer's judgment of injury at the scene of the crash than the other diagnostic codes within a hospital record. And injury occurrence is a tag where 1 would specify that an injury had occurred, where 0 would specify no injuries. So using that CABCO injury severity score, a 0 was assigned for anyone who was classified as uninjured, and a 1 was assigned for anyone who had some level of injury. And within the hospital records, everyone was assigned a 1 for some level of injury. So basically, this would still allow a hospital record to match to an uninjured crash report, but it gives greater weight to matches to an injured crash report. So because we didn't have a unique identifier like Social Security number, and because our data systems contain errors and missing values, we used a probabilistic linkage methodology with LinkSolve 9.0. So with this methodology, you calculate match weights based on agreements and disagreements between the match variables, and these are weighted based on the frequency distributions of those variables. So in this example, we have a 54-year-old male with a crash occurring on January 4th, 2009, and in the crash record, they're listed as a driver. The potential matching hospital record is also a 54-year-old male with an admission on January 4th, 2009, but they are classified as a passenger. So the 3 variables that agree, age, sex, and date, all contribute positively to the match weight, and since crash role disagrees, it contributes negatively to the match weight. You can also see that date has the largest absolute contribution at 11.5. And this is because date is the more unique variable, the variable that's harder to randomly match on compared to age or sex. Within a variable, more common values contribute less weight than rarer values. So within our data set, males are more common than females. So if this had been a woman instead of a man, it may have contributed 1.2 versus the one that we see here. The overall match rate of 15.2 is found by summing those contributing match weights, and this corresponds to a match probability of 60%, which means there's a 60% probability that this linked pair would represent a true match. So with this methodology, you can also specify blocking variables, and blocking variables must match. So if the candidate pair does not match on those blocking variables, it will be kicked out. But if it does match on the blocking variables, it will be assigned a match probability and a match weight based on the agreements and disagreements between those match variables. So LinkSolve also allows you to run multiple passes. And within each pass, you can specify a different combination of blocking variables. The candidate pairs from each pass are then merged, and you delete any duplicates. LinkSolve then will conduct multiple imputations, selecting a weighted sample of the candidate pairs, and that's based on the match probabilities. And it also uses Markov chain Monte Carlo techniques to estimate model parameters to ensure that the imputations are independent from one another. So our blocking strategy, we forced age and sex to agree within each pass, and we also forced either role, date, or county to agree within each pass. And so basically we wanted to have greater confidence in our linked pairs because we had so few variables to match on. So this table shows our average weights of agreement and disagreement. You can see that age, sex, and date do not have average weights of disagreement, and this is because age and sex were within each blocking pass, and then date within our final linked pairs never fell outside of that one-day buffer. So again, starting with our 280,000 hospital records and over a million crash records, we ended up with 145,000 linked pairs, which represents 52% of our total hospital records and 41% of the crash records that we expected to be hospitalized. So we calculate sensitivity and specificity measures to assess the performance of the linkage, and this is calculated by comparing match probabilities of the linked pairs to match probabilities of the candidate pairs that did not end up in the linked data set. So we estimate a 74% sensitivity, which means we are correctly identifying 74% of the true matches or missing out on 26% of the true matches in our final data set. And the specificity of 93% means that 93% of the true non-matches were not linked, or that our final data set contains around 7% false matches. So our final evaluation was to see whether linkage rates were comparable by key variables. And this would basically allow us to assess whether the final data set was representative of the true universe of traffic injuries. So in this first graph, we're looking at the proportion of hospital records linked to a crash record by crash role. We conducted chi-squared tests with the null hypothesis that linkage rates were independent of crash role. And because of our high sample size, we used Kramer's V to look at effect size rather than statistical significance. So the highest linkage rate was seen for drivers, and we had lower linkage rates for pedal cyclists and motorcyclists. And this type of pattern is seen in other studies as well. Pedal cyclists and motorcyclists often are underreported in crash reports, especially when another vehicle isn't involved. And drivers are more likely to have a documented crash report. And for insurance purposes, the information is likely to be higher, which would facilitate a match. So in this graph, we're looking at the linkage rates by collision type. And again, collisions with other motor vehicles have the highest linkage rate, while non-collisions have the lowest linkage rate. And we think this is similar to what we discussed before, where non-collision events or single vehicle crashes are underreported in the crash reports. And Kramer's V of 0.19 indicates a weak association. So this is looking at our linkage rates by county, and we can see that the linkage rates are very comparable for our counties, and a Kramer's V of 0.07 shows that there's a negligible association between county and linkage rate. In this map, we're looking at the proportion of crashes linked to a hospital record by police district. So just to orient you, the island is Staten Island, Brooklyn is the lower county, Queens is right above that, Manhattan is the small peninsula, and the Bronx is north of that. So we can see that there is a low proportion of crashes linked in an area of eastern Queens. We think that's associated to there's a level one trauma center in Long Island that's within 2 miles. The low linkage rates that we observe in northern Brooklyn and southern Queens, we think that's associated to using county as our geographic indicator, since there's a level one trauma center across the water in Manhattan, and the low linkage rates in Manhattan may be related to a high number of minor fender bender incidents in the more congested streets. So we made similar comparisons by age group, sex, injury location, hospital type, and hospital status, and all associations were weak or negligible. So some of the limitations of our linkage, we are not capturing injuries treated outside of the ED or hospital, so this would be urgent care related visits. We are missing non-New York City events, and this could contribute to those geographic biases we saw on the map. Our data set also contains false matches, so this should be used for population-level studies, not individual-level tracing. And there are coding differences between data systems, and relying on the e-codes might not be the best. So in summary, we saw that it was possible to conduct this linkage with limited identifiers. We were able to link 52% of the hospital records, which we estimate to be 74% of the true matches. All of the associations that we saw were weak or negligible, so we don't think our final data set is biased. And in terms of future analyses, we're looking to see how the CABCO injury severity score translates to the health outcomes we see in the hospital data. And we're also looking to identify risk factors associated with more serious injury outcomes. Thank you very much. I would just like to acknowledge my colleagues. And here's my contact information.
We have a few minutes for questions.
Yep. Thanks for your presentation. It was really interesting. I was just curious, do you have like a quick synopsis of the outcomes after you did the matching and anything interesting that you found?
So we're still working on that. I would say we don't have anything to share just yet. So.
How much time and effort did you have to spend on learning the linking software? Because there's lots of packages out there, and I'm curious about if you have to invest in one, you know, what the learning curve is and how much difficulty it is.
It's a bit of a learning curve. I would say that the developer of this software, Mike McGlincy, he is great to work with. So he sat on the phone with me for hours teaching me about the software. It was a good couple of months just learning about probabilistic linkage and the intricacies of the match. But he was great to work with, so I do think that it's a valuable investment.
How much was it?
I'm not quite sure off the top of my head, but I could let you know.
Do you know what matching algorithms were available in it? Like, did you have the full spectrum of edit distance approaches or sound decks coding? Was it really dynamic? And you could control that?
Yeah, it's very dynamic. We did not need Soundex just because we didn't have names, but other states have used that feature because they did have access to that. So it is dynamic, and he does incorporate your feedback in updates. So when you do encounter problems or have ideas, it is something that can be changed if you do have hurdles.
Okay.